Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Let me hold you tight.
Come on, Luca.
If only for one night. Let me keep you near to ease away your fear. It would be so nice if only for one night. Very long piano interlude. I won't tell a soul. No one has to know.
Oh, yes.
If you want to be totally discreet.
Oh, yes.
I'll be at your side. If only for one night.
Yes. Give me performance theatrics. We can always count on Uncle Luther, Auntie what? Luther, for what? The performance theatrics. That's why I love Live in Radio City. Now, you know, that is my album. Okay.
One of my absolute. I told you all about the casino weekend on the pre-show, mm-hmm, so you can go mm-hmm, check it out mm-hmm. there.
Check it out.
But we had some really, really fun moments, you know, because it was a small road trip.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of like getting to stop and eat breakfast and mm-hmm. like enjoy one another, you know, during the day.
Mm-hmm.
We played music in the car, right?
Love that.
And so we're playing our good feel-good music, which was a whole lot of Fifth Element. We listened to a lot of Fifth Element.
Of course.
It's just good feel-good music.
Yeah.
Those were some magical ass niggas. And then so then, you know, you have to remember that I'm married to a real nigga, first and foremost.
Period.
Is there a real nigga? Is there an R hit around? I'm a real nigga. How may I help you?
How may I be of service?
How may I be of service? Outside of being a real nigga, you know, who was doing certain things at a certain time, running these streets and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also married to a Caribbean man, as you all know.
Oh, yes.
Who wasn't particularly raised on a whole lot of the same music.
Fair.
That I was.
Understood.
And so, you know, one thing Papa's been getting into is the good old R&B. He's like, yo, do you, like, nobody makes lyrics like these anymore.
No. And I feel like so old when I say these things, but
I say
all the time, you hear me say all the time, these niggas not begging like they used to.
No, they not begging.
I saw
a meme today, which was perfect. They said,
yes.
They said, I know the pussy had to be better back in the day because it would be 5 niggas on a track singing and not all of them was hitting. They was like, it would just be one, but his homeboys was backing him up.
Period. Because let me tell you something.
And I was like, right.
When me and Toya went to the Babyface concert a few weeks ago, I was just overtaken by, yes. like you said, the lyrics.
Yes.
Because I said, you got to know, after 7, okay, slept on. The girls don't give after 7.
Listen.
They're just due.
Last night.
Listen.
I was inside
and I was in the 4th grade. I had no business. I had no concept of what that meant.
I was inside of you.
I was inside. That's wild. Okay.
First of all,
that is wild to say. But let me tell you something. To your point.
I'm sorry.
To your point, though. Ready or not, they say, I will give you the sun, the rain, the stars the moon, and the mountains.
And the mountains. Okay.
I will give you the world. and all that you wish for, and even more. So that's what I'm saying. I said, Chris Brown and them.
Girl, I love you more than words can show. That's for show.
I just like these niggas are not. They're just not coming lyrically the way that they used to come. And I know that I sound like somebody's great auntie, and I'm okay.
I don't care. Yeah, that's fine by me. I need a nigga to beg for me like Carl Thomas.
You know, I want five niggas singing. Climb the highest hill and cross the widest sea. Do you hear me? Nothing will discourage me. Do you hear me?
Nothing will discourage me.
Listen.
And I'll pray that you'll be always, ever be, forevermore.
But I loved it. And you know, me and Toya was clearly the youngest people at the concert, but I was standing on my chair with them 60s and 70 year old women talking about ready or not. Like,
sister, from my I already told you when I was 22, I took myself to a Jeffrey Osborne concert.
Because you have, like, there is a place in Jay's heart.
There is.
For Jeffrey Osborne. If you want to see Jay light up, literally illuminate from within.
Jeffrey. It's over Jeffrey, Stevie, and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Period.
And Elton John. He's my white king.
Okay, because that's another video. We have to have the footage of Jay singing Elton John down to the karaoke. We've got to post that.
Okay, because y'all don't know how much I love Elton, okay? So one of the challenges we were like, okay, I said, I'm going to play you some music that I don't think that you've heard yet. I was like, and I'm going to put you on to how these niggas sing.
Period.
Like how they write for you. So I played him, you know, obviously a bunch of Luther, a bunch of stuff. But I said, but let me put you onto my white king.
Mm-hmm.
And I played him Your Song by Elton John.
Mm.
And Elton John says in the song, hold on, let me pull up the exact line because it's just, hold it. It went away as fast as it came. I was like, it came and then it went.
While you're looking,
it's the tip
I was watching
tongue.
Project Runway. I binged season, I think, 14 of Project Runway, and they had a challenge that was inspired by Rocket Man, the movie. And so they had to create a look.
Oh,
that
Rocket
could...
Man! Rocket Man!
And I was like, Jay would completely lose her shit for this.
Oh, I would. Okay. This is the line from Your Song. How wonderful life is while you're in the world. Like, come on now.
We don't really deal
come
with it.
Come on now.
I told you that I got hit where I was watching recent, the last season of The Masked Singer, they had an Elton John night. You need to go back. I'm going to find the episode. I'm going to find the season and the episode number. And I'm going to watch, because it's on Hulu. I'm going to send it to you, and I'm going to say, you need to get to the Hulu-luya and watch this immediately.
Please.
Because you're going to get your life. Because I found myself in the kitchen talking about,
yes. Oh my gosh. Hold on.
They had a whole Elton John night. And I mean,
this is just 30 seconds, but I'm going to watch it real fast. No, I don't want to hear the narrator.
No, you have to.
Oh, wait, I want to hear. Okay, there we go. Oh, wait, no, go back.
It's so good.
Okay, what's next? No.
It's so
somebody give me a snippet. Give me a.
Wow, though.
Oh, that's not enough.
It's not enough, but I'm going to find it and I'm going to send it to you. But
oh my God, the McCall sings Your Song. Wait a minute. I'm so sorry.
Yes, the McCall. I remember that.
Wait, okay, not you, Ad. Go away. Oh, well, no, not another one. Hold on.
You know, the girls got to get their coin down to the YouTube now.
No, I have it, but because I went through the internet.
Oh.
It's every time I go through the. Okay, hold on. It's funny. Yes.
It was
this
wild, though.
Inside.
It was so good.
I'm not one of those who can easily hide.
It's really
okay,
good.
I'm sorry. I won't do that to
you. But I just love that. You know, what you can't, it's undeniable because Elton John's catalog just crosses generations.
Oh, God. Listen.
Literally, it was so, like, literally, that's a stadium full of people, everyone screaming Elton John at the top of their lungs. It was just a movement.
He just transcends so many different. Yes. I just love him. And I, you know, I don't know if you know the book series for kids, Little People, Big Dreams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they have like these big heads, but they tell like truncated stories. And so, of course, Noah has all the, but she got the Ella Fitzgerald, she got the Harriet Tubman. But when I was Christmas shopping for them, I ran across a Stevie Wonder and an Elton John, Little People, Big Dreams.
Oh, man. And I know
you better believe, but I bought them both for myself.
You better believe it.
Those are mine.
You betcha. You betcha I did.
Oh, I love Elton John. But yes, I do have a 65-year-old man that lives inside of me.
I mean, his name is Ray. And
Benjamin.
Harvey. His name is Harvey, but they call him Ray for short. And, you know, and Harvey Ray Benjamin lives inside of Jade. And if you put right song on, Harvey is coming forth. You hear me?
Let me tell you something. Give me my blunt, a.k.a. my cigar, and a good tune. Please.
I just imagine Jay at the bowling alley. Get her life.
You know I love the bowling alley. You know I love to bowl.
Jay is, you are just the type of black person that got like bowling shoes and a bowling.
I have bowling shoes. I have my own bowling shoes because I don't want to stick my feet. I have my old bully. I have my old roller skates.
My grandma also had her own bowling bag and bowling ball and bowling shoes.
Oh, I'm about to elevate my game and get me a bag and a ball.
She had a bag and she would carry it. And she used to bowl until her back started to cut up. So she had to cut back on the bowling. But I remember a time when we would frequent the bowling alley on Saturday afternoons.
Yes.
And my grandma would be down there bowling. You hear me?
Smells like processed cheese and cigarettes.
And it's cigarettes.
One of my favorite places.
And I told you that's when my mother would sit back and fan like Dominique Devereaux. Like, it smells terrible in here. I just don't understand how y'all are sitting here. We'd be like, girl, it's your turn to bowl.
Get I don't up. Know. We're eating cheese fries.
I said, like, we is over here eating this processed square pizza. What do you want?
What do you want from me?
What girl, do you want? You want some onion rings, girl? What you want? Hey,
bowling alley onion rings and bowling alley French fries are just
cheese fries
just
specifically. That cheese Supreme. Whiz. That cheese it's, whiz.
That hot cheese whiz. Oh, please.
It's please. Probably filled with MSG.
I don't care.
And I just imagine people, Bootsy probably got a cheese whiz thing in his house like they got at the bowling alley.
Bootsy has a hot dog maker like the movies.
He got a popcorn machine.
And a cheese whiz like dispenser.
Yes, absolutely. I believe it. He probably got some icy frozen machine. Pretzels. Yes, you and the frozen does. Pretzels in his freezer.
But guess what he don't have? A vegetable.
Listen, it don't be nothing but MSG in that kitchen. You better believe
nothing.
It.
Nothing. Maybe a little bit of fiber.
We haven't even greeted the people. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
Y'all doing all right.
15 minutes in.
13 minutes in. We just be having a time.
We do.
Y'all is welcome. How you doing, sis?
I'm well. I won't complain. I'm quite exhausted. But you know, I think that's just...
Par
bodily
for the course
things
at this
and
point,
par
yes.
for the course, yeah.
Yes.
And still trying to ease into this year. Like, I don't feel all the way present.
I don't think yet. We should rush.
I don't. I actually don't feel
I
like
don't
we should
we
at
should
all.
Rush.
You know, and I feel and I feel good about that decision,
I do
actually.
Too. I'm very proud. I was very intentional about not having any sort of work travel for the first month. For as long as I can manage into the new year. And I have really enjoyed just reconnecting with my home, with my space, with myself. and really just trying to get grounded so that we can do what we got to do for the rest of the year. But listen, I'm well, I'm safe. I have what I need.
That's
I'm looking forward to a good show, a good conversation. It's good to be back around the kitchen table, feeling like we're slowly finding our rhythm. And we're going to be back next week with another guest, okay? I've been enjoying this time with my sister.
I'm excited for our guests next week. They are going to come and enlighten us on some things that we need to be enlightened on.
I hear that.
And share some good information. So you all make sure you stay tuned for that. How are you doing, sister?
No complaints. All is well. I'm excited and looking forward to some rest this weekend.
Yes.
And getting recharged.
Yes.
And hopefully getting somewhere and sitting down for a little while. I think I deserve that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a quiet weekend. I have had some busy weekends, you know, as I was talking all that shit about doing stuff I don't want to do. But, you know, sometimes you got to do stuff you got
to
do.
Well, that's what you have to do, yes.
But I am looking forward to a quiet weekend where I don't really have to do too much.
Big
same. I'm
ready
for one of those to come up soon as we just came off the hills of a holiday.
Right. And I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but and we just got off of vacation, but I was looking at the calendar today, like, when again is it time to go?
Same.
I'm ready.
I was like, so do we can skip a week when?
Yeah. I gotta find me some time to go somewhere.
Same.
I need that.
Am I going anywhere anytime soon?
I don't have any. Well, I have things, places to go for work, but I'm trying to think about scheduling me a good 3-4 day weekend.
I do have to go somewhere in a couple of weeks, and I was about to tell you, and then I said, there might be one person on this show who fucks it up, so I'll wait until afterwards.
Okay. All right.
But I do have to go somewhere overnight, but that, you know, that's... Anywho, so we have good conversation for you all this week, per usual. Make sure you all send your honesty box questions and all your information to hello@gettinggrown.co. Share your self-cares with us. Share your Sunday dinners. Send your honesty box questions. And make sure you check out the Patreon where you get the visual version of this ad-free. And, you know, follow us on the socials, especially the Instagram, because you all support Mean Something. If you feel like you've not seen our posts, then go back and look at a bunch of them and like them. And
that
they'll
will
come
help.
Up in your algorithm.
That will help. So, thank you so much.
And is there anything that I forgot?
You want to add? Yeah, I think we're good. I think we should head on to the kitchen table. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts, and not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Buenos noches. Willkommen to the kitchen table.
Hi, hi, hi.
So, you know, this week, we want to talk about something that you all actively do when you hear this show.
Yes, and we're grateful.
Very much so. From a thoughtful perspective, though, I feel like it's very timely, this conversation. And so we're going to talk about the art of listening.
Yes.
So the definition of listening is to give one's attention to a sound.
Mm.
That is the definition. notice that that definition does not include talking, speaking,
responding
yes. in yes. any way in that definition. So I'm going to ask you a question, sister, to start this off.
Okay.
What does it mean to truly listen from your perspective?
I think it's about ingesting sound in order to understand and appreciate mm-hmm. what is heard. I'm when I think about actively listening, I want to engage with whatever it is that I might be hearing in a way that, you know, I could conceptualize or explain it, or, you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, understanding is sort of at the top of my mind when I think about listening. So yeah, it is about taking in mm-hmm. sound, taking in words,
mm-hmm.
And seeking to get clarity or perspective, insight about it. How about you?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I actually 100% agree. I feel like it is because, like, it's sound, right? So it could mm-hmm. be conversation. It could be or words from somebody. Actually, not conversation. I want to put a pin in that. But it could be words from someone. It could be a song. But I do think that it is outside of just hearing, right? The first thing I thought about was responding to somebody with an "I hear you," right? Mm. Because you can hear all day, but are you listening to comprehend what is being said? And how are you processing that information as you're listening to it? So I think that would be, yeah, that would be what listening is from my perspective.
I think we engage lots of sound, lots of words, lots of content by, mm-hmm. you know, just in our culture, in our everyday practice. And one of the things that I feel like I am learning or is I'm much more conscious of the older I get is
mm-hmm.
everything does not warrant a response or a reaction immediately. Mm-hmm. And I find myself being okay with sitting with something, of really sort of taking it in and processing mm-hmm. and thinking about it before responding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting mm-hmm. much more comfortable when I don't have a response, not feeling sort of a pressure. You know, it's okay to not have something immediate to say, like mm-hmm. to have something to say immediately when you hear something. And sometimes sort of, you know, being okay with silence and stillness, space in conversations is something that I have come to appreciate a little bit more, because I think a lot of times I've noticed if you really pay attention, or when I really pay attention in certain conversations professionally or personally, there are times when I can tell or I perceive that people are not really listening versus just waiting for their next opportunity to say something. and our culture, you know, is very opinionated, and opinions are, I don't even know, like everyone feels we're entitled to have them,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have to publish them or speak them, or, you know, there's, you know, there's just lots of opinion, and opinion is mm-hmm. often conflated with reality and fact in ways that can be harmful. Mm-hmm. And that often happens in haste. But that's a really long way of me saying I am in a space in my life where I am thinking and being much more intentional about how I listen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I've just become very keen on when it's like, I don't have anything to say to that right now, and that's okay.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. Not
and that's
having a
okay.
response. Yes. Yes, indeed. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When have you felt most heard? And what about the conversation made you feel like, wow, that person really heard what I said?
Oh, wow. Huh. That's a good question. When have I felt most heard? Oh, that's a good question. I think, well, I can't pinpoint a specific time, but I think overall, I feel the most heard when I have conversation, specifically with loved ones. And when I express certain things, when you can feel when someone is receptive to what you're saying, right? And sometimes you can go into conversations thinking that, thinking something, there might be a different outcome. We had a whole, which I think we need to revisit, actually. We had an episode years back about having difficult conversations, and how you can't anticipate or expect, you know, what the other person might say, because it may not go in the way that you think that it's going to go. And you have to be prepared for that in whatever instance. But I don't ever go to my loved ones and have thoughtful conversations, like very intentional ones, without really having my points, you know what I'm saying? And like, not my facts and examples, but like being clear about what it is that I'm saying. And so when that's, when I can tell that is being received, especially in a positive way, that doesn't mean I think everybody needs to bow down or whatever I say. That's a different thing. But when I'm being thoughtful and intentional and going, and I can tell, and I can tell that it's being perceived in a positive way, being processed. If that is when I feel probably the most heard, because it feels like a productive conversation, which is not to be conflated with listening. But so let me ask you, me ask you this. Actually, before I go into that, when do you feel the most heard?
What is at the top of my mind right now are the things that don't make me feel heard, or like, you know, they're the things that come to mind when I know I like this person is not listening to me. It's like, to your point, when, you know, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you felt like they mapped out what they wanted to say to me? They anticipated my response, and they're just like, you know, they just want to say what they got to say. They're not really interested in hearing my response because they've already made that determination.
I'm sorry. This is actually a terrible interruption in the middle of this conversation.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But as you're saying that, it brought to mind, not only have I gone into conversations feeling like that, I have gone into conversations feeling like that, where there have been conversations where it's like, I want this, I hope for this to be productive, and I hope that you hear me and like listen to me. But I have also gone into conversations like, I don't give a fuck about nothing you have to say in response to what I have to say, which is not always the best, but please continue. Sorry.
No, but I just think about like, I can recall conversations when like there have been indicated in like, what would be an indicator to me that this person is not listening when they say certain like trigger words. I'm thinking about conversations that I've had with men. When they would say something like, well, you know, women XYZ. Or like when they preface, or when it is clear that the basis of what they're saying is a generalization or a presumption, like when you're regarding me in a particular way because I'm a woman, not because mm-hmm. you know who I am or you're interested in learning who I am as an individual. That is like an indicator. Like, well, mm-hmm. it doesn't even matter what I say at this point because this person sees me as a woman and women XYZ. Mm-hmm. So that is sort of what comes to mind when it's like, you come into this conversation leading with your preconceived notion about me when things are framed as statements, things that should be questions or inquiries are mm-hmm. framed as sort of statement of fact in a way. That is also an indication that, like, you know, I'm not going to be heard. Mm-hmm. And so conversely, to answer your question, the things that make me feel heard are when people, especially when I'm talking to someone who I have a close relationship with or I feel knows me personally, mm-hmm. When they honor that knowledge and draw from that knowledge and are more curious than give me the benefit of the doubt, and I would rather you ask if, you know, did you mean that? Did you mean it this way? I mm-hmm. heard it this way. Did you mean it this way? It was mm-hmm. it your intention? Those are the things, you know, when people know my heart, when I get the impression that you know my heart, mm-hmm. and even if I have said something that was offensive or hurt your feelings, mm-hmm. if we are having a conversation from a place of, I really want to understand what that was about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I, mm-hmm. you know, something happened and it conflicted with what I believe or what I know about you as a person. So mm-hmm. help me to get some clarity or understanding about this thing that I'm unsure of versus you said this and you meant that and you, and mm-hmm. you don't even give me an opportunity to sort of say, wait a second. Okay, well, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, not that I won't take accountability, but mm-hmm. in terms of feeling heard, I want you to give me the opportunity to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have that opportunity, then it's easy for me to get into that place of shutdown. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying too is a lot of the disconnect in society. Especially with differing opinions.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about differing political opinions that impact people's entire human existences. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about different opinions. Like, I like sugar on my grits and you like salt.
Yeah. You know, the girls get real, real passionate about
you
the
know,
grits.
Or something. But
yes.
I think in society, a lot of people go into conversations with that mm-hmm. more of an accusatory, you know, and wanting to just make sure, like, my side, I just need to say what I gotta say mm-hmm. because this is what you are to me. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure you know that. And I think if there was a lot more thoughtful, well, it helped me to understand, but then that goes into people not really wanting to understand. So yes. That's a different conversation.
And it's like so much of our conversation. So like, when a lot of times in conversations with people, I find myself trying to assess the need. Mm-hmm. Is this happening because this person just wants to say what is on their heart? Do they just need space to sort of to process aloud? Or are they looking to have to engage my opinion about mm-hmm. a thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times in conversation, I find myself sort of saying, what do you need right now? Like how, mm-hmm. like even before we have a conversation, like when we talk, even it'll be like, or if I say I'm having a really hard day, or if somebody says to me, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so upset. I'm like, do you want to talk about it? Number one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number two, what do you need? Do you need mm-hmm. me to just be like, damn, you right, that's messed up? Or do you need me to, you know, process aloud with you?
Yep.
Are we looking for a resolution, or do you just need some space to just sort of get it out? Because I recognize that those are two different ways and means of communicating, and both are important. Because sometimes you just got to get it out. Sometimes it's just like, this is sitting on my chest and I don't feel good about it. And it might be wrong. It might be offensive. It might be selfish. But this is just where I am right now. And I need a safe space to just sort of say what I got to say.
Yes, absolutely.
Versus, are we having a conversation? Do you want to hear from me? If so, what would be helpful to hear in this moment? And I think because that changes the way that I am going to listen. And so that's one of the things I find myself sort of being intentional about doing, like as a practice. And that's something that was not a thing when I was younger. But right now I am able to, you know, because I recognize the difference.
And where it can get you.
And failing to acknowledge the difference has hurt my feelings. And not that the other person hurt my feelings, but I hurt my own feelings. Because, you know, we got to set some groundwork. Like, we got to ground the conversation before we even have it sometimes. Yes. Is this a space where we are processing something aloud? Or do you just need to say what you got to say? And it could be both. It could be like, well, let's start here. And then if we need to, blah, blah, blah. But
yes,
that's something that I find myself doing in terms of cultivating my listening practice. Because listening is a practice.
Ooh, say it again.
Listening is a practice. It's a skill. And, you know, we all, you know, those of us, you know, who have ears and can hear and all of that, you know, that does not necessarily mean that you can listen. And that's a big, big lesson that I have learned as well. And there are times where I've had to say, I was not a good listener. I was not in the space to listen because I was shocked by what I heard and I needed to process that. So while you was talking, I was still over here like, what the hell? And so, you know, I got to be conscious and clear about that, you know?
Yes.
Cause I need, you know, so yeah, I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm gonna shut up.
You're not, no, you're fine. I'm listening.
No, but I think it is art and it is a lost art. Mm-hmm. I think we're losing the art sometimes.
In addition to it being an art, I also think it is an exercise.
Yeah.
Right? It's something that you have to,
it's a muscle. Yeah.
You gotta build that with exercise, and you have to be intentional about building it with exercise.
How has that played out in your marriage? How has your listening muscle grown over the course of your relationship?
So much like a beanstalk. We were talking about it in the pre-show, actually, where I was telling Kia, you know, about Tristan's birthday weekend and had some realizations and some takeaways, you know, just from conversation that we had. Had a good mirror put up in front of me. And I think even in... Let's see, responding is not listening. You have to listen before you can respond, actually. And not every listening session deserves a response. But, you know, Tristan was expressing to me that he would love it. It would mean a lot to him to if I put more effort into some of the interests that he has, right? And I was hearing him and I was processing that. And... you know, you got the spicy side of you that be like, I don't give a fuck about none of that. And then you also...
Girl, I don't care. Okay, what?
But as you're asking about the growth, you know, as I was processing what he was saying, I said, you know, my partner in life, I'm not trying to co-op, you know, language, but my partner in life... is asking me to show a little bit more interest in these things so that we mm-hmm. can spend more time together.
So
that we can enjoy the things that each other enjoys in their solitude mm-hmm. together from time to time. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck would I have an attitude about that? But I had to listen to what he was asking. Yeah. I had to process what that was before I came to some sort of conclusion. And even in that, just taking that time, that offers a lot of growth to the relationship because it shows that you actually give a fuck about the other person. You give a fuck about the dynamic of the two of you together. And so both of us listen, because I can see the difference of where we just needed to get some shit off, when years ago, as opposed to now where it's like, hey, are you in a place to receive this right now? Mm-hmm. Because people be in moods or they be tired or whatever. Are you in a place to receive this right now? Hey, this thing is making me feel this way, and I want to express this to you. And I think just us communicating and really taking in what the other person is saying has been so helpful in our growth and in our evolution as a couple.
Yeah, I as you were talking, it's just what was coming up for me is like, listening is really about learning. It is about taking an interest in wanting to know or come away from a conversation mm-hmm. with something. Mm-hmm. Some insight, some information, so that then you can have you can make informed decisions about how you proceed.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That just makes me think of so many other things. I think professionally, I do, DEI work, helping organizations to think strategically and systematically about how they want to change and transform to center mm-hmm. equity and social justice in a way. And so the thing about reform is that everybody, feels like they know how to do it. And the thing about equity and social justice is people just sort of assume that, I'm just going, of course I prioritize justice. But when you ask them like how or, what ways or what about your practice would signify that, that's where people start to come up short. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that if you think about the literature around what's required to change, what's required to transform, what's required to really center these values and principles, it begins with listening. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot ever aim to solve a problem that you don't first understand. Mm-hmm. And so, that's really the first step. Folks want to say, folks love to say, they love to start with solutions. They love to, I know exactly what to do here. This is what we need to do. We're going to write that down. We're going to get our budgets. We're going to get our people in place. We're going to move forward with a solution. And it's like, well, sis, tell me more about the problem. Tell me why it's a problem. Tell me what, if we fail to listen, mm-hmm. then we really can only make superficial change toward a thing. If there's a draft in a room and you want to, you can adjust the thermostat to adjust the temperature in the room, but eventually you're going to have to adjust the thermostat again.
Yes.
Because, adjusting the thermostat, in effect is a solution, but, mm-hmm. It's not a sustainable one. Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. we first come into the room with a posture of, let's learn why the hell there's a draft in this room in the first place, then we can make different decisions about how we want to go about addressing that problem. It really does begin with a posture of learning, a posture of receiving, and that mm-hmm. has application, personally as well. I was telling you before, like, this is something, this muscle is growing for me with conversations with my mom. Because I am developing the capacity to gauge what she needs or how she needs me to listen to her before I respond. Mm-hmm. And so, like, is this just you mad? and you know, D-Dot done said something to get on your nerves, and you just need to be like, girl, let me tell you what he said. Or do you need me to process this aloud with you? Because a lot of times, you know, in the past, I sort of jump right in with, well, girl, all you got to do is da-da-da-da-da.
Yep.
And she'd be like, okay. Like, I can tell, like, she didn't really need me to give her an answer or a fix. She just needed me to be like, yeah, girl, he be doing that to me too sometimes, and it get on my nerves. Like, she just need me to validate that, you know, it's okay for her to be bothered by a thing. It's okay for her to be frustrated with the thing. It's okay for her to enjoy a thing. So it's not always in terms of, like, you know, just the bad stuff, but it's just like, sometimes she need me to be excited with her. Sometimes she need me to be proud of her with her. And so when I am able to do a good job of listening with the intention to learn what she needs, then we have a better exchange. And that right there is the art of listening, and the practice of it means sometimes I get it wrong, but I keep trying.
Listen, black
women, right on trying.
Black women are supreme at carrying on 95 conversations,
honey, at once,
and interjecting and everything, but then also circling back. Okay, now what were you telling me about blah blah blah?
Yes.
You know, we're just great at that multitasking tool, but also that can't be applied in every single conversation.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to. And you mentioned it earlier. Sometimes it's about asking that person what they need.
Yeah.
You know, as they're getting into it. Let me ask you this. Are you looking for a response? Are you looking for me to just hear you? Are you looking to just to get some shit off? You just need to vent. Like, you need some validation. Like, tell me how I can support you, you know, and what you're expressing to me.
Yes.
And that's a good way of honing in and really being able to see what somebody is saying to you, and just giving a fuck in general.
Literally.
You know,
like,
if you give,
like,
a fuck about
care?
The person you're talking to.
Yeah, like, do you care? And if you already think that you know what I need, then why you ask me for? You, like, let's just start with where you are then. Okay, since you don't really give one damn or a half a damn about what I think anyway. So let's just go on and get to what it is that you think we should do.
Look, please.
I am being very intentional about listening more. That's one of the things that I want to prioritize for myself. Listening more than I speak, and making sure that when I speak, it is substantive, it is meaningful, it is authentic. Because gone are the days where I just feel like I got to say something for the sake of saying something. I've grown to have a great appreciation for silence. It means something to me these days, girl. It means something to me.
Very much so. And leading into what has once been labeled awkward silence, because it doesn't have to be that.
It don't.
You know what I'm saying?
Unless
there was like somebody just got their shit put together. Then it's like, that's an awkward silence. But sometimes sitting with your loved ones does not mean y'all have, like, if your love language and y'all's thing is running your mouths and it's organic, then so be it. But if you find times where it's quiet and you're trying to figure out a way to fill space, that might be you needing to be comfortable listening even to quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's when the best listening happens. Because even like in my prayer time, there's so much of prayer time that we think is just talking, but a lot of my prayer time is just getting somewhere and shutting up and waiting to see what the Lord has to say in response. And that can come in a lot of different ways, but being okay with, like, listen, I'm just gonna sit right here until you tell me what to do. Because I don't got it. Okay, I'm just gonna sit right here. I'm going to sit right here
Yeah, especially when you don't always have the words. Like, period. You have the feelings, but you don't have the words.
Very, very much so. It's like, and I said this to my therapist earlier today. Like, there's sometimes when I pray and it's like, I'm so glad that God doesn't need me to articulate what I'm feeling. Right?
Yes.
And it'll just be like, I don't even know, but you do. So whatever. Whenever you want to come through here and do something would be real good. So I'm just going to wait. I'm going to sit on down. I have myself a glass of water and wait for further instructions or just until I have peace about a thing. And it may come in an hour. It may come in 10 months. It may come, you know, whenever it comes. But the best listening. Because, like, even when you think about when we was on the cruise, just being outside on the water, mm-hmm. taking a break, getting away from things, like, all of these building in these opportunities to talk to God, but also hear from God, that also cultivates my listening practice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if we're not cultivating it, then...
What are we doing?
What the heck?
Do you feel like I listen to you in the way that you need?
Yes. I think we have grown in how we communicate to each other. Mm-hmm. Because I think that you understand that sometimes I need to process and sit with the thing. And even in the times when you be wanting to talk about it right now, and I might need a minute. Mm-hmm. You give me the minutes.
You give me
the minutes. And that is something that, you know, I feel like we had to grow into. Mm-hmm. And I'm also, you know, a processor. And so sometimes, you know, we'll have the conversation and then 3 days later I'll be like, you know, I was still thinking about this and I have this mm-hmm. to say now. Because, and you know, you just give me space to continue because I don't always have my comebacks in the moment. Sometimes I got to really sit with the thing. Yes. And I'm not saying comebacks in a retaliatory
no, no,
way.
No, 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 no,
you know,
but just,
sometimes I really do need process. To sort of sit with it. And it's taken me a long time to sort of develop that patience because mm-hmm. I have learned through making the mistake of forcing myself to respond before I'm ready. Mm-hmm. That does not help anybody. Mm-mm. Right? Mm-mm. Yes. I will say that, you know, you listen to me. I feel heard.
Okay, good.
When I communicate with you. And, you know, I think it will only continue to sort of get better. So that as I grow and evolve and sort of change and, you know, we will continue to sort of mm-hmm. do the same thing in our relationship. What would you mm-hmm. say? How would you answer that question about me and my listening?
I think you listen. I know we process differently.
Yeah.
But I definitely do think you listen. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the evidence is within our relationship, how mm-hmm. we communicate, how we receive the information from the other person. I feel like you listen. Like you listen to me. Like you hear me also when I speak.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, I speak quickly. And so, you know, and I'm quite direct. Mm-hmm. And so things don't, I'm also neurodivergent. And so things don't always.
No, but I know your heart. I know your heart.
And so, you know.
So even if something doesn't land away or lands in a weird way, I'll be like, all right, we're going to circle back to that and we will get.
Yes. And likewise, I know Kia, sometimes stuff will land away and Kia will be like, it will send her to a place.
Yes. And Jay watches me go. Because I'll still be sitting in this seat. But my mind is in the place. Like, well, all right.
And it will go, and it will continue to go, and it will continue to go.
I find but my way back, though.
But you find just, your way back.
But I have to go. Listening. I have to go. But I'm coming back.
And I
back.
Just sit there like, run, Kim, run!
I have to go, but I'm coming back. And I have to go. And you I do. Might be gone for a couple of days, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And I'm going to be like, when I come back, and then I'll be ready to just be like, all right, all right.
It's true. It's true. And I think that, and I think understanding too, you're not always going to know the person that you're having a conversation with or you're talking to or what mm-hmm. have you, right? People who make music don't know the ways in which all of us listen to that music differently. So you're not always going to know your subject of who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, I think also keeping in mind the way that you listen to that person based off of who they are, right? So like, I know it might take you a second. Sometimes you know it might take me a second. But we understand one another, and it helps us to have a better understanding of how we listen to one another.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope that made sense.
It made so much sense. And I'm excited because I feel like as we continue to grow as individuals and our needs mm-hmm. evolve and our interests evolve and sort of like what we prioritize in our personal lives, you know, as we sort of evolve through those phases and changes, I've always appreciated the way that we adapt to one another.
I agree.
Even like, you know, there was a time when I needed Jay every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have to talk the whole time, but just if I needed Jay to just be there while I was working or to mm-hmm. help me think through something or to even sort of help me process my day so that I can then focus on my work. There was a time when we had that sort of rhythm and cadence to our relationship. And then as life evolved and work schedules changed and, you know, Jay had a baby and Jay, you know, all of these things, you know, mm-hmm. we have adapted the way that we engage and hold space for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. never been any static. I've no. never felt like, you know, oh, Jade is ignoring me. She's too busy for me or this or that. You know, if there was ever an issue or something didn't land right, we've always been able to talk it through. Mm-hmm. Because I think at the core, we've just always been connected to wanted to truly understand each other's heart yes. and heart posture and really mm-hmm. be there for each other however we needed to be at that mm-hmm. time. And so I appreciate that. I just wanted to acknowledge that I appreciate the ways in which you have let me figure life out.
You know, likewise, you know, because I could be a bitch. Unintentionally. But
well, we can't
more like not really a bitch, more like a dick. So
well, I just think, you know, it's easy to sort of internalize. Well, I'll say for like this for me. Sometimes I am so in here.
Yes.
That I am not yes. even conscious of the ways that my actions are impacting the people that I'm closest to. And it's That's not fair. Because I don't care about them, but mm-hmm. it's because I'm really working like hell to figure out what the hell is going on in here. And that's just
And
honest.
I think if you love somebody enough, you will figure that out.
Yeah. I think that's just honest.
Yeah.
It's never like, I wonder if Takiya hates me. It's always like, whoa, she must be really...
Try it just be
it's
like
just a lot going
which
on in there.
Roller coasters Kia on in Kia World today. I don't know which one. It's a big park.
I'll be
park.
Taking myself a room in. Again, neurodivergence. But you know, we are on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's been a journey, but I feel like we are cultivating a listening practice with each other. that has informed how we listen to other people or listen in other relationships. And that's something that I come to value. And so if you want to cultivate your learning practice, you know, get with your good friend, ask questions, receive feedback.
Listen.
And own, you know, I have had to own when I've acted in a way that hurt my sister. I've had to own that. And I had to tell her, I know I did that and that was messed up and I did not mean it. I'm sorry. And I will
but
try my best.
But your owning comes from listening.
Yeah. I will try my best and not defending. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, taking responsibility. So
I would also, one of the last things I would like to bring out is that let's get into the practice of expressing when we don't have the capacity to listen.
Period.
You know, because
that's also a thing.
It's a thing. Sometimes you don't have the capacity. I'm not talking about your friend calling you bawling, crying, and you're like, oh, sorry, girl, I just don't have
it. I'm fresh out today, sis. I'm so sorry. Which you have to find somebody else to do it.
It could be that too. You might have to do that sometimes, but that wasn't what I was referring to. But if that's something that you have to do, if you got a friend who's calling you every day crying,
if it's every day, you can't.
I don't have
say
the capacity today.
Now.
Then that's okay. Second. But get into the habit of being intentional about letting someone know when you don't have the capacity, because then you know it won't be a productive conversation. You know, and can we revisit this at a time when I'm in a better headspace?
Yeah, let me sit with this for a minute.
Let me sit with, I'm distracted today, or emotionally I'm not in the best place to receive blah, 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 or, you know, whatever the case is. But I think being intentional about expressing even when we don't have the capacity to listen can be very helpful in aiding relationships.
I agree.
I do.
It's just honest.
I think we can talk more about listening. I think this can be a broader conversation, honestly.
I think we should. We should be more intentional about growing as listeners, being better conversationalists.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because I want to get into. We didn't even really get into listening and conversation because they're separate. You know, and the different conversations. Does every conversation deserve a response? Does every, you know, so I think we should part two this.
I'm down. I'm totally down for that. And I would love if folks, you know, out there in our getting grown communities, if you guys have insight or specific questions or things that you know, if there's something that we missed about this exchange about listening and how to be better listeners or how to think more intentionally about the art of listening, the skill of listening practice, you know, shoot us an email. Let's think about
or
ways that
some
we
of
can
your practices on how you listen. That would be nice to hear from you all as well.
We should expand the conversation.
I agree. I don't want to hear what we missed because now, if you want to hear what we should expound on, sure.
Yes.
But I don't want to hear what we missed because they love that.
That's an awesome reframe. Yes, indeed. XD, thank you so much.
They love sending me an XD a fucking email. They're like, y'all didn't put blah, blah, blah on the list. And I'm like, because the show's an hour and a half. It's an hour
we
and
don't
a half,
have
bro.
Time.
I can't get to everything. Well, you know what you should do? Go listen to another episode and then wait for the next one. I'll talk to you.
Well, yes, feedback received.
No, we're grateful.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, let us know. And we look forward to circling the block, spinning the block on this here conversation about listening. You want to head into some Black women self-care?
Yes, spinning the block. We're so youthful. Let's head
I
over
know.
There.
I'm just, it's giving. What is it? The Generation
it's
Z?
Giving. Alpha. This week's episode is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company that should put all my organic girlies at ease. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Keto? No problem. Paleo? They on that. Vegan? You set, baby. Vegetarian? Gluten-free? Or just looking to eat more balanced meals in general? Green Chef can handle all of the above because they offer a range of recipes to suit your preferences. I tried to do a thing. Choosing Green Chef means choosing real, wholesome foods that don't just fill you up, but also support a healthy lifestyle. And you can see how many lifestyles they support. It's more than just satisfying hunger. It's about feeling good with what you put in that mouth. I'm really hype about Green Chef's new gut and brain health meal plan because it includes a delicious array of nutritious dinners, clean snacks, and functional drinks specifically crafted to actively support the well-being of your gut and enhance cognitive health. Talk about mindfulness. I'm a busy lady, and my health has been a big theme on my 2024 ends list. So knowing I get to eat a meal like cobia, which is just a buttery, tasty little fish, with lemon aioli, bulgur with artichokes, peas, parmesan, and roasted carrots, or harissa chicken with an apricot pan sauce, that balance of flavors, hello, with a side of couscous with carrot, kale, and raisin. Yes, raisin. This ain't the potato salad, and if you know, you know. Oh. I almost forgot the Southwest chimichurri pork tenderloin with a little butternut squash, kale, bell pepper, and cabbage medley. Then top that off with an herbaceous chimichurri and my favorite, a tangy pickled red onion. The variety almost had you forgetting these were formulated especially for your belly gut and your mind brain, didn't it? Well, Green Chef believes you should live to eat and eat to live. They want your food to taste good to the mouth and the conscience. Did I mention they deliver everything you need to eat the clean and easy way this new year so you don't have to go navigating those bougie supermarkets looking all lost? Comes right to your door. Nourish that body, yaddy yaddy, with chef-crafted, nutritionist-approved recipes packed with clean ingredients that support your healthy lifestyle and have the nerve to taste good. Go to greenchef.com/60grown and use code 60grown to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/60grown with code 60grown to get 60% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well, darling.
I deserve.
Let's talk self-care. I'm ready.
Okay.
I saw a wonderful movie.
I know which one.
I saw Origin, written and directed by the brilliant Ava DuVernay, and it was masterful. It was a masterpiece. Such that it is my self-care for the week, because let me tell you, I was in that movie and I was so inspired by the artistry, you know, the storytelling. The imagery was so powerful, but just like as a writer, as a academic, I was in there inspired, and I had like, you know, I was like getting ideas. Like, it was, I don't know what it was, but I literally had my little notes app and was like jotting down things that were just coming to my mind. And it's been so long since I have watched a movie that has literally turned my brain on in the way that Origin turned my brain on. You know, the mark of an awesome storyteller is one who writes or tells a story in a way where everyone can get something out of it. The message of Origin is so powerful and so true and so authentic, and it is so resonant. Each person who watches it will be able to resonate with it in a particular way. And it is a complex concept, but it is it is presented in a way where, regardless of your age or station in life, you will get something from this film. And I'm not hyping it. I am literally telling you the truth of my experience. I was telling Jade about it before we started recording, and she asked me if she thought it would be too much for Noah, and honestly, no.
Okay.
I loved Origin so much that there was a little barcode at the end of the movie where you could donate tickets to kids and teenagers who need to see the film. And I donated 10.
Yes.
10 tickets. Because I was just like, whoa, we all need to be talking. We need to watch this movie together. We need to talk about it. And it made me like, I'd read the book Cast, which the origin just is based on.
Purchased it.
And it made me want to go back. Like, I'm going back to read Cast again because, you know, Pulitzer Prize winner, Isabel Wilkerson, I mean, did the things. She really did that. And it is just such an awesome and powerful, it deserves. I think this is the movie that, when Ava presented at Sundance, she got like a 9-minute standing ovation. And she talked, like, as she's been doing press for the movie since it's been out, she talked about how awkward it was. Because you know how long 9 minutes is for niggas to just be standing and clapping?
No, that's long as fuck.
But now that I've watched the movie, I get it. I'm like,
you see why.
I too would have been I'm up so there for sad 10
I missed
minutes.
That like, screening. Yes. I know it was snowing, but I'm sad I missed that screening. I mean, ready to see it.
Anyone who, if you got you some time this weekend, and I know the movie theater is expensive, girl, get your hand sanitizer and your mask, go on down there and watch this movie, period.
Okay.
Watch it.
Okay. Okay. Ooh, watching. The fact that you made your self-care, the fact that it, like, incited thought for you.
Listen,
and
I will show you. Look at my little notes, girl. I was in here, and I was still, you know, I was driving home, like, you know, I was like, that was just good
and
to
me. And another thing that.
Yes, it was just like, that was good to me. I love every bit of that.
And my sister loves to take a note. But to take a note in the movies, that's look. How I know that it was some shit. Oh, those are not. That's a dissertation.
No. I was in there like, but it may be like, this is what I'm saying. Like when we was talking earlier about on the pre-show about what's in, it's like maybe like this is why I got to get back to reading. I've got to really start to prioritize and make the time to really read because it sort of reignited that for me. So, y'all, let's go to the
And I'm
origin.
Loving that all of this is so, because based off of what you told me so far, it also seems like it's timely with world with what's
so
happening
much.
In the world right now. And that's one thing, too. I do always love reading the book versions of, you know, when they make films. But reading things that also kind of, not necessarily nonfiction, but just things that resonate with what's happening. I started rereading King Leopold's Ghost. And between that and what's going on in the Congo and just the awareness that is being brought to us even more so that I feel like for a long time because we didn't have social media and because the evil powers that be have always loved to separate so that there is a lack of knowledge because then there can't be a unity. It's just, it's just nice. And so I'm ready to read Cast. I need to read Cast.
Oh, it's
I just ordered
so,
it.
So good. And it is so important, especially in this age where, like you said, they don't want us to have this kind of understanding.
Not at all. Not at all.
And so that's why it's critical. And that's why I say it's not at all too heavy for Noah. Noah needs it.
And she knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we don't hide from Noah what's happening in the world because I want her to be able to start to form her own informed opinions. You know what I'm saying? And be able to take a look and just be like, listen, these are the facts. This is what's happening right now. So I want to present it to you and then you process that how you will. I mean, obviously with us talking about
but
you know what I mean? Like she deserves to be able to form opinions and have understanding. It doesn't need to be like, this is not for kids.
In every way. And I don't know like how the dates work in terms of like what awards this is eligible for right now or this or that, whatever. Honey.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I can't think of a movie that has impacted me in this way.
Ooh. That's a good question. What's the last movie that impacted me like that?
I have to, I'm going to sit with it for a little while and I'll report back. But in this moment, I cannot think of another movie that has impacted me. Maybe Crash?
Oh, I forgot about Crash.
I remember Crash sitting with me. Like Crash and Fruitvale Station. I remember those movies like resting with me for a little while. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I still don't even know if they turned my brain on the way that this movie did. And listen, y'all might see it and be like, Kia did a lot. But I'm just telling you what. I'm just telling you how it hit me. So listen, I welcome all opinions.
That's the same niggas who walked away talking about the Book of Clarence made me think.
Oh, girl.
Like,
don't get me started. Don't get me started, please.
We was kings.
You should have said, what movie was it? Was it Renaissance? I just remember I went to see another movie and they played the preview for that. I think it was Renaissance.
Probably Renaissance, yes.
And just imagine me sitting there all ready for the Renaissance and they played that and I was like...
So you already know when I saw Book of Clarence, when we left the theater, I turned to Crystal, I said, Kia is not going to see that. She's not going to watch that movie.
I just was in there like... I said, now...
You literally popped in my mind while I was watching it. I was like, she's not...
I have questions.
She would be incensed if she saw this.
I don't think that... I just was like, you know, I'm just... Now.
I don't think it was sacrilegious.
I feel like I need... Like, this is one that I really have to sort of... It is... I want to be open to the... interpret the way, like, you know, I want to give it a chance. It's not, I'm mm-hmm. not completely like hell no, but I do have reservations. I need more.
I need more
than what I've been given.
I mean, I'm not opposed to a little Jesus fan fiction. You know what I'm saying? Like,
is that what it is? I just remember
it was a little biblical fan fiction.
My friend Nina, when I was in LA over the summer and I went on my first hike with my friend Nina, shout out to Nina, she showed me the trailer. And both of us was like,
does Nina go to church?
Yes. Both of us was she like,
yeah. That's what I told Crystal. I said, the church girlies, they're not going to like this one. And I said, and Kia won't see it. And I can't really, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't imagine you enjoying any Lakeith Stanfield movie that I have seen.
He does give me pause. I tried. But I mean, I did see him in the Black Messiah. Where he played the
I forgot he was in that.
I did see that.
Okay, that might be the one movie I didn't walk away confused.
I did see that.
Okay.
But every other, and I even tried, what is that? There's that Apple TV series that he got. And I watched about an episode and a half of that and said, I'm going to have to let this go. This is not for me. It is not.
Did you watch Atlanta?
Huh?
Did you watch Atlanta?
I did.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, small doses. I can take the Atlanta little episode like that. I can, but I tried to watch that. Changeling was like, I don't even know what's happening here. And this is just not my films.
And I can't imagine you also, like, I actually would pay money to watch you watch Sorry to Bother You or Sorry Not to Bother You or whatever the fuck that movie is called.
I don't even know what that is.
I know you don't, and me knowing what that movie is, because I walked away from that movie like, what in the fresh fuck?
See, now, if you say that, I know that I don't have no business even trying.
Which is why I would pay money to watch you watch that movie.
Yeah. It makes me think, like, when we see Passion of the Christ, my brother got upset. When they was beating Jesus, he was in there like, I can't take this. I'm ready to go. I don't like this. And I was like, you ready? Because I will leave with you. But so I just like, it might be one of those reactions. Like, I'm not comfortable.
But see, Brian Brian having that reaction right.
It was like he was getting upset. It was like he wanted to beat the people on Jesus's behalf. He wanted to defend Jesus. I don't like what they doing. Like, it was like, it's like, we know the story though. We've seen it. We know what's going to happen.
That was because years ago I told XD, I was like, Underground got canceled. That was such a good show. Like, I'm really sad that it got canceled.
We know and the outcome.
He was like, Jade, we all know how it turns out. Woo! And that's what I was thinking. You were saying Brian was going to, I'm like,
I love it.
Brian, you know the story, you know?
I can't believe that we had that whole conversation about listening and I didn't think, because my brother used to say all the time, listening is a sign of intelligence.
Uh-huh. Hello.
And, you know, his coach, when we was in high school, his basketball coach, he was a gym teacher, our coach, Mr. Mayfield, he used to say that, like, when we was in the gym being rowdy and loud, he would say that to get our attention. And so it just sort of became a thing. But my brother said it. I mean, when he became a teacher, he adopted it. And he would always say it. And, like, he would really mean it. So there would be times where we would be having a conversation or we would be talking and I would be saying something. And when I wasn't listening, he would say, listening is a sign of intelligence. And that's when I'll be like, okay, well, that is my signal that I'm not listening in this moment. So let me just get myself together. But
I've had to adopt that as a parent because with Noah, I have to remind her all the time, like, there's strength in listening to what the other person is saying. And there's also strength in you saying you don't know something.
Yeah, there's no shame in it, for sure.
It's actually, you're smarter.
Yes.
For saying you don't know something. Somebody Absolutely. Will respect you more for saying, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to go look into that as opposed to just
talking.
Flat out being like, like, this person's full of shit.
Whoa. Yes, indeed.
I'm going to steal that from Brian and your coach, and I'm going to use that and warn her often. Listening. And on myself.
But yeah, that was
another thing we didn't get to get into, parental listening and how, you know, because
that sounds like a whole episode, huh?
That's why I said we've got to have more parts. This might be a series.
But yeah, we are all over the place. What is your Black women self-care?
My self-care this week. I'm going to go back to Sunday dinner. So I cook. I did not get to cook on Sunday because we were gone, but I cooked on Monday and I made a fabulous Trinidadian stewed chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, honey. Arroz y gandules.
Yes.
Plátano and, you know, just a fresh salad.
I mean, come
you
on.
Know, had just some avocado on the side. Birthdays. Some pickles. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I have a taste for some stewed chicken and I want to make it. I don't want to go buy it.
Period. Love
I was
that.
Quite proud of it. It was delicious. And that was my self-care. I made what I wanted to eat.
I love
real light and simple this week. Real light and simple.
Because I had a transformative experience at Origin, so we deserve Sunday dinner.
Mm-hmm. No, listen, Origin sounds like a Sunday dinner, and
it was so good.
I remember Crystal coming back after they went to one of the screenings. Her and Asante, she was like, me and Asante wept.
I mean, it's more than just like, whew. I mean, my God.
Okay.
So much.
This might need to be a like middle of the day. I take myself to the movies movie.
And I won't spoil it, but I was especially moved because there's an element of grief. That was just like, whoa, man. It's oftentimes like grief reveals a lot of your best thinking is revealed through grief in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to find a way to tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so moving to me because while all of this was happening, there was grief. She was grieving the author. So it was just like, man, we gotta sit. I want you to go see it, and then we're gonna sit and have a chit chat about it.
Yeah, I think this might need to be like an episode. Oh. We might need to talk about it.
We might, because I'm not well.
Okay.
I'm still like It's still sitting with me, but
okay.
Go see it. Everyone, go see it. Let's talk about it. And if you want us to have like a getting grown conversation about it, let's do that too.
We can do that anyway. So I'm ready to see it, and then I'm ready to talk about it with you. Like your responses and reactions to it are really intriguing me. So yes, I can't wait. And Ava always does her good work.
A genius.
She does her good work.
Genius.
She is. Now, I wouldn't mind another pass at that Wrinkle in Time, but I loved that book as a kid, and I was like, my expectations were different.
It was not what I anticipated it would be.
Just, you know, but Origin, I heard, is absolutely incredible, and Ava is incredible.
Otherworldly. She's an incredible director. Yes, indeed.
So let's go support a black woman who's talented as fuck.
Gifted beyond. It was so good.
And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And if you haven't seen it by the time we do the episode, well, then you just put it on hold until you do.
Come back around. Circle, spin the block. See, I'm still youthful. I love it.
Well, let's continue to stand on business and head on over to the Petty Peeve, shall we?
Okay.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right. My petty peeve is very short and to the point. It is a request. I don't need any further announcements, correspondence, musings, reflections from Kanye West and his wife. I wish to be liberated. I wish to be delivered. I wish to be set free. I don't understand the post. I don't understand the imagery. I just wish to be left alone. Leave me out of it. I don't want it. Him and that lady can go on somewhere.
Does she speak?
Never. Never. There was a post that I saw that Tyrese responded to. There was a post. Oh. I guess like he posted a picture of her behind. Kanye posted a picture of his wife's behind. She had like a thong on. He made some reference to like, was it I don't know. Coffee or something. I can't remember. I'm messing it up, but it was some sort of food or beverage reference. Mm-hmm. Tyrese responded with a picture of some black woman's behind.
Oh no.
And said like, I like mine. No cream, no sugar. Something.
What?
And I was just like, so I don't know what it is about me. I'm having this visceral reaction to sort of the ways in which men objectify women's bodies. I didn't used to react in this way, but I don't know what it is. But like recently, like, you know, whether it's Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco waxing poetic about all the things that they would do to Megan Thee Stallion or, you know, I just feel like this kind of stuff, like, I don't like it. Rubs me wrong. I do not care for it. And it's like, you know, you just posting ass. It's like, you know, these women have lives, they have voices, they have faces, but all y'all care about are their body parts. And I just am disgusted. I don't know. I understand that this is something that has been happening for decades, but here lately, it's just like, enough. Enough. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I just don't want it. And that's my petty peeve. I'm grossed out. I am. I'm very much grossed out because these people, like all of these men have daughters.
Sure. They're all not well also. That's not a justification or an excuse. That's just like, Oh, let me keep in mind that these niggas are fully unhinged.
Ugh.
The whole lot of them. Every name you mentioned is an extremely unhinged individual.
And that's why I just want to be left alone. Like, I just have to, and you know, it's me. I'm the problem, it's me. I'm unfollowing, I'm unsubscribing, I am checking out. I am distancing myself because I don't want to put my body through the way that it's going to react. And these things didn't used to bother me. I used to just be like, oh, niggas are going to nig. But now it's just like, gross. And I don't know. I don't know when this happened, but I am just outraged. I am like, ew. It just rubs me wrong.
I didn't even know about this Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharp.
It was gross. And I don't think people talked about it enough. I did a post about it on Instagram because it was literally these men who are old enough to be Meg Thee Stallion's daddy.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Talking about all the ways that they would wear her out.
No.
And I feel like, listen, people are going to say Meg raps about sex and her sexuality. And I think that's, you know, listen, that's her choice.
It doesn't give you license, though.
That's her choice. Mm-hmm. But I just, and you know, I guess, whatever. That's her choice. That's her business. I cannot speak to that because that's what she wants to do. I don't feel like that justifies two grown men.
Mm-mm.
Who have children Meg Thee Stallion's age. I believe like Shannon Sharpe's daughter might be 2-3 years younger than Meg. Same. Ocho Cinco got daughters in her 20s. So in their 20s. And so I just can't imagine. Could you imagine opening your phone or anywhere, happening across a video of these two men talk about speaking into microphones on the internet about all of the ways that they will wear you out and break you in half. It's not like they say, it just was like a strong no for me. And I might be by myself. I might
no,
be
I don't
reading
hear that.
Too deep. But it's just like, you can count me out of this. It's not going to be okay for me under any circumstances. I don't want any parts of it. And I know that this has been happening for ages, but it's happening in a way that is being normalized that does not sit well with me. And Meg Thee Stallion can rap about all of the ways that she is going to spell her name and, you know, and feet on the bed and all of that. And that's her business. But that does not mean that it's okay for you to say, I will break her in half. What? Out loud? Like, I know that niggas be joking about that shit and the group text be saying all kinds of stuff. And I get that. That's private. Those are private conversations.
Yeah, that's private thoughts.
But to publish that kind of stuff to me feels wrong. It does.
Yeah.
It does. And I might be prude and I might be a square. I might be corny, but I don't like it. I don't like it.
And like you said, it's just that y'all are just both
it's
like
icky. It's
uncle
like
uncle age, daddy
ew,
age to her.
Gross. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to know. Okay.
That's the part that disturbs me, I think, the most.
I don't want to
hear
it.
Like, nothing in your own spirit says, this person is just maybe a couple of years older than my own child. Let me just chill. I can have my own thoughts that I can
cackle about with my niggas.
And if some young
man was on the internet talking about my daughter in this way, how would I feel?
First of all, fire and fury. Do you hear me?
But I'm just saying, like, if Shannon Sharpe came across some young man talking about his daughter in that way, I'm sure he would be in the prison system.
Yeah, it would be a problem.
It would be smoke.
Imagine Shannon Sharpe running across those words about his child.
Yeah, it would be smoke. And I don't know, maybe it's because, I Meg is my niece.
I know. You know, we just have a special affection.
And with all, listen, I'm not saying that she is without flaw or that she does not, that she does everything right, but Meg is my niece and I feel like I got to be the one to say, get your nasty ass away from me. Get out of here. Move move around.
Move the fuck.
With that garbage. Get away from here. Get off my porch with that foolishness. I feel like I gotta say that. Off of my porch with that neck. And don't forget to leave when you go. Go!
Yeah, don't forget to leave when you go. It's one of my favorite things ever.
Please leave. And don't forget to go when you
don't
leave.
Don't forget to leave when you go.
Period. And get out of here with that mess. That's what I feel that, like I got to say.
That's
it
right
for
up
men.
There with shut your mouth while you're talking to me.
You shut your mouth while you're talking to me. I don't wanna deal with this. That's how I feel about it. And that's my petty peeve. Y'all got to stop being gross now. Ew.
Have some shame. Bring
Please.
Back shame.
Wait, with shame, we got to get shame back on the map. You niggas have abandoned shame.
No, there's none at all.
Oh.
Because there's...
I don't like
you
it.
You know what? That I can't even call it no, because that's just going to open a whole another can of worms. And no, I'm going to leave it alone. Because... I had a petty peeve, and I have to put it to the side.
Well, we'll save it for Patreon.
Yeah.
It gotta be a paywall petty peeve.
We talked about it. You know, there's certain risks that I'll take on Jaden XD that I won't take on getting grown.
Fair. Fair.
So you all can tune in over there for what my petty peeve was going to be. But I just recently learned about a lifestyle that.
Oh, Lord, I'm scared to ask.
Oh, it's different, sister. It's different. It's a group of. God, what do I call the individuals who identify as animals? And so it's not really a petty peeve. It's more like a...
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, no. So you ever heard of LARPing? Live action role play?
Yes.
You know where niggas go and play Dungeons and Dragons in the forest and shit?
Yes.
They LARP in a different way.
Oh, dear.
They, like, run on all fours and believe that they embody the energy of certain animals.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so their pronoun, like, somebody's pronouns are, like, she, her, and it. And... It's very confusing for me, so I'm trying to understand it. But I was like, I just feel like y'all be pulling this, and then you try to like you make it a thing where it's like, no, this is my identity, and you are disrespecting me, and it bastardizes all of the other humans and people that are actually fighting for. Human rights and not just like respect, but like human basic human rights and things. And so this is I don't even know what
I don't know. I wow. This is
Yeah, you all go look into it. Okay. Therians is what they're called, and then
they're what are they called?
Therians. Therians, I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is worth some further exploration.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you want to hear about it from a completely ignorant and uninformed side, then you can definitely go listen to the latest episode of Jaden XD. But here on Getting Grown, we are very, very grateful for you all tuning in each and every single week. You guys support us, and we just couldn't be more grateful. Stay tuned, because we got our guests starting to return again next week. We have an awesome guest. Dr. John Paul is going to come and join us at the kitchen table. And it's going to be
Love
a good
Dr.
conversation.
Paul.
And we've got many more scheduled for you all coming up. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that, all of our news and things that are coming your way. And sister, take them out and tell them what to do.
Make sure that you are moisturizing your mind by attending to the business that is yours and yours alone. Mm-hmm. Always be careful. and intentional about moisturizing your insides by drinking just as much water as your body can sustain. And yes. finally, you want to moisturize your skin. Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry.
Period.
A ta-ta, toodaloo.
A bye-bye.
A titty-o.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. You'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars, and who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.